Praise the Lord, everybody. Give Jesus glory. Give him honor and give him praise. You can be seated. Give me just 10 minutes and we'll have you on your way. Looks like we got some more prayer requests. Where's prayer requests at? And then one praise in the front. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I've been saying this for some time now, and I firmly believe it. I firmly believe what I heard. And that is the greatest book on revival is the book of Acts. And this is what our nation needs. This is what our cities need. This is what our families need. We need revival. Revival is coming alive to God. Revival begins with the church first. Because if the church is dead, the world has no chance. But the church, when it comes alive to who it is in Christ Jesus, not that we're in it, but when we come alive to who we are in Christ Jesus, then we can go forth in the strength and power of the Holy Ghost and turn our world of this day upside down. Then we can cover the earth, if you will, with the glory of the Lord. But it is in need of revival. I want to share with you out of your bulletin because you may not even get a chance to read it. But this was written by Mary Stuart Ralphie. I don't too often quote others. You know, I like to try and stay with the word, but sometimes when they make some profound statements, it's worthy of repeating. If it's been said good once, it doesn't necessarily need to be refined. America has many problems. Would you agree? I don't know the exact date when she wrote this introduction to her book, but I know it had to have been at least 10 years ago, if not longer. America had problems then, and those problems have increased. So she opens up with, America has many problems, but one solution. Infinite hours are being spent to alleviate the sufferings of the sins of an immoral society laden with abortion. And the amazing thing is some of these things that are so clear and so evident that they're wrong, it's amazing to find a church split on one side or the other. And this is not a guilt trip or anything like that, and this is not to condemn any women who have experienced abortion. But when it comes down to it, when you look at it for what it really is, it's more than just taking the life of a fetus, it's taking the life of a child. You let that pregnancy go 9 months without any interference, a baby is going to come out. That's how we got into the world. Amen? And so when you go in and you take that child, prematurely, you take that child and you actually kill that child. You know, whether it's in the womb or outside of the womb, you've taken an innocent life. And it's amazing how people have thoroughly convinced themselves, and it happens in other arenas as well, convinced themselves that what is actually happening is not happening. In other words, it's not a baby. It doesn't have any rights. It's just tissue. And this is women's health care. I never knew a baby was a health care issue. I thought it was a part of reproduction. I thought it was how we all get here. But we can use terms and things to desensitize us so that it makes it easy for us to do what we're doing. People can say derogatory things about other people. They used it in the military, and we do it today in society. We will say certain things to demean a person so that now we can treat them the way we think that they are. Forget about the fact, when I say forget, I don't mean like really forget about it, but, you know, absent the fact that they are made in the similitude of God, we would still look at them as less than us, or us better than them, or us superior. And believe me, it goes through every race. It's not just, well, whites think that they're better than blacks. Blacks think they're better than whites. Hispanics think they're better than whites or better than blacks. You know, everybody thinks that they're better. And then everybody has the same problems. That's one of the awesome things about pastoring a multi-ethnic congregation. You find out that the problems are very similar across ethnic lines. We used to have that saying, CP time. Most of you know what CP time is. Until I performed a wedding, and they said, Filipino time. I'm like, Filipino time? Yeah, Filipino time. They come on their own. They come late when they get ready to. And you find it in every ethnicity, if you will. People are just, thank you. People, and they're just lazy and will come at their leisure. It's just a sin problem, if you will, which is common through all ethnicities. Don't nobody get uncomfortable with me. Amen? And so we can desensitize ourselves to things either by watching it on television and seeing it so much over and over and over again to our conscience becomes so dull, and it's like we don't even think about it, you know. You can watch so much violence that it's so easy to go and punch somebody in the face and think nothing of it. There used to be a time where we respected our elders, but now you'll find teenagers or young adults that'll go up to an elderly person and punch them and knock them down and rob them. And it's like, my God, where is the respect? So, with that being said, even with the issue of abortion, it's wrong. Pornography, that has really skyrocketed of late. And it's not just in the world. It is in the church. And there are many that are bound by pornography. They spend hours and hours and hours, whether it's magazines, whether it's on the internet. They spend hours and hours, and they think they have convinced themselves, and I'm talking about Christians as well as the ungodly, they have convinced themselves that it is okay to sit there and watch others and entertain your mind, unawares of what it's doing to your brain, desensitizing it, taking it into an area it was never meant to go, where you become uncontrolled. And then you begin to embrace it and you start to like it and you think that it's normal, but it is not normal. Especially, not that it excludes, but especially if you're married. The last thing a wife wants to know is that her husband is hooked on pornography. Because now he has espoused another and abandoned and forsaken her. But we do these things so often that we desensitize ourselves and we become numb. And society suffers as a result. The very state and condition of society is a direct result of the state and condition of the church. If we ever want to know how we're doing as a church, all we got to do is look at society. It's not condemnation. It's just a living fact. It's a truth. It's the reality. There's only one solution to the world. It's not a Republican. It's not a Democrat. It's not an independent. It's not government. Are you with me? Are you listening? Okay, good. Make sure you take this in. So pornography is an issue. And you can be delivered from pornography. You can be forgiven of abortion, and if you're pregnant, you don't have to go and abort the child. There are plenty of people who would love to have children, and they are not able to at this point in time, that would love to just adopt that baby and raise them up as their own. Why we have to go here? Because it's election time. It's not all about politics. Drunk and alcohol abuse. Do we not have that problem? It's gone so far and so bad that now they're starting to legalize stuff that was illegal. I don't want you to raise your hands, but I'm sure there are many of us that smoke marijuana. I said many, I didn't say all. I'm sure there are many of us in here who have smoked marijuana at one point in time in our lives. And when we did it, it was illegal. We hid it. And then after we did it, we go wash our hands, make sure there's no contact on us. Anybody remember the word contact? Go in the classroom and trip. But we knew it was illegal. Well, now because it's such a cash crop, they want to legalize it. Mind you, there's still restrictions with employment that if they detect that stuff in your system, they can reject you from being hired in a position. And on the one hand, they would legalize it, making it seem like it's okay. On the other hand, it's like Governor Jerry Brown said, we don't want no potheads sitting at our, you know, computers and working and doing stuff like that because they don't have much control. You start to allow your mind to be controlled by a mind-controlling agent other than the ability that God gave you within yourself to do it. But we do have a drug problem. And the drugs, I mean, the stuff that they're doing now is stuff that's unheard of. And it's like, even that's not enough. They compound the stuff with other stuff, simply trying to get on a high that they eventually have to come down from and face reality. So we have a drug problem. We have an alcohol problem. Anybody used to drink? Notice I said used to, bless God. Hallelujah. Thank God for deliverance. I know some people hate when you start talking about alcohol. Hey, you messing with my stuff now. Well, now it's just like that with marijuana. Because you got, hey, it's legal. You know, it's medicinal. It's my medicine. I need this. What did you need before? You just want a trip. That's all. You just want a trip. We got these problems in America and we're afraid to face it. It's not going to go away. The flesh is like this. It craves after certain things. And once it tastes of a certain thing that it likes, it continually draws itself towards it. It has an appetite of its own. Not just food, not just drink, but other things that please and satisfy it. You start putting it in an arena, it will go hog wild. You start exploring and doing different things because that's the way we want to do here in America, land of the free, home of the brave, do whatever you want to. You start exploring and dabbling and testing and, you know, trying, experiencing new stuff, and then you end up hooked on the mess. And then you begin to deteriorate from the effects and impacts of it. It begins to wear you down, tear you down, because you're putting something in your system that God never intended you to put in your system. So drugs and alcohol are a problem. You don't need to get drunk. You don't even need to get high. Some of the greatest highs I have is in prayer. I'm not lying. I'm not making that up. All of a sudden, the presence of God just comes upon you, and it's like, whoo, praise God. Whoo, you just start pressing in deeper. Whoo. Yeah, Lord, right there. Yeah, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. And that takes you deeper. You just keep going. And then you have to let up. It lifts. Not that God abandons or forsakes you, but that moment lifts. But he makes it worth your while in that time of intimacy with him. You can get high on Jesus. Hallelujah. Keep you high. Praise God. They thought Peter and them were drunk on the day of Pentecost. They got high on the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost made his invasion, when he made his introduction, when he came on the scene, he infused them with power. And they came out and they started speaking in other tongues. They started in the upper room. They came down and were speaking it. Everybody heard them speaking in their own language. And they're like, aren't these Galileans? And how is it we hear every one of them speaking in our own language? The wonderful works of God. They're all drunk. Peter's like, we're not all drunk as you suppose. Seeing that it's only the third hour of the day, nobody gets drunk that early. You know that cliche, there's no high like the Most High. Get high on Jesus. Don't get high on substance. That stuff is not good. It's a problem that our nation faces. It's a problem. It's a crisis. Perversion of all kinds, sexual perversion primarily. The things that they're doing nowadays and the age at which they start. You know, one of the most sick and disgusting things that I read about was, and I can't remember recall the doctor's name, but they did experiments with little children, and now we see the same things happening today that they do. But it began with this individual doing experiments with little babies and doing things that they are, that's very inappropriate for an adult to do to a child. And they're doing it, and as a child is reacting to what they're doing, they're thinking that the child is experiencing pleasure when the child is experiencing pain. See how dead we become? Dull that our senses are? That you would inflict that upon a little baby and then think that they like it. Sick society. Dull. Dull at hearing. Dull at the ability just to rationalize. This is wrong. Madness. And it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. In our schools, preacher man, he's not here today because he's over at New Bethel. I think that's what the name of the church is. New Birth, okay. New Bethel, New Birth, okay. New Birth, let's call it what it is. He's over at New Bethel because they want him to, I pray that all he's got to do is just get up there and just open his mouth. If they just give him 30 seconds, it'll be good enough. But I hope they give him at least 2 minutes or 15. But they ask him to come over since he's running for city council. But, you know, he's aware of a lot of things that go on in the schools. And one of the things he shared with me is about this gender fluidity thing and how they have students stand in a circle and then go up to the person that they identify themselves with. And so if it's a boy, but he thinks inwardly he's a girl, he would go up to a girl and that's what he would identify with. If it's a girl who thinks that she's a boy, she would go up to a boy and say, this is what I identify because this is who I think I am. They teach this stuff. They encourage this stuff. They encourage our children. They're like, well, we can't stop it. They're going to do it anyway. So we want to provide protection for them and things like that to help them. And it's like they become so desensitized to the pain and the afflictions that go on from experiencing something too early, doing it outside of what it was intended for. Sexual intimacy was between one man and one woman, known as husband and wife. Outside of that is sin in God's eyesight. It's not to condemn the sinner. It's just to face the facts and the truth of God's word. And so they're promoting this sexual perversion from the White House all the way down to the schools, in order to engage these children and things and these young adults, these teenagers and all, into activity that's really marring their future. They get pregnant, then they want to sweep them off to the abortion clinic. And then they take the tax dollars to pay for it if they can't pay for it themselves. Trying to solve a problem, they create another problem. Nobody's saying much, and nobody's doing much. Perversion of all kinds. Tampering with consumer products. Products. Meat. Vegetables. Stuff. Stuff that we're hearing about now. E. coli. what's some of the other things that, you know, the meat itself being bad? And Deacon Aquino, you ought to know, you're like one of those food experts. And what are some of the things that, you know, infect the meats and stuff? You know anything offhand? Parasites and. Yeah. Poisoning. Yeah. Tampering with stuff. You got to be very careful now when you go into the store and buy something. You got to be very careful when you go to a restaurant and buy something. I mean, I bought some, you know, been out to dinner and ate some food, and it's a nasty taste. I have no idea whether the person spit in that thing or what. What's that? GMO. Okay. He getting deep on me. Praise God. But tampering. This is why you better pray over your food before you eat it. Hallelujah. Pray before you go grocery shopping. Lord, lead me to the good stuff. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Violence. Violence is a problem. It's still a problem today. We see how uncontrolled it has become. Some, their solution is gun control. I believe in gun control in the sense that people who should not have a gun should not have a gun. But the people who legally have a gun, they shouldn't have their weapons taken from them, because you can take it from the ones that legally have it, but what about the ones that illegally have it? The illegally ones are going to keep theirs. And as soon as they take the ones that legally have it, the illegally ones are going to come up to them and say, you ain't got no gun no more. I'm going to take what you got. But violence is a problem. Corruption in administration of justice. We live in a time and system, an hour, where if the people don't go in the direction that they want us to go, then they get these judicial branches, judges, these who legislate from the bench, and they will overturn rulings, or they will overturn voter initiatives, for lack of better words. They will overrule the will of the people in order to carry out an agenda that they want to do. So they're ruling from the bench. That's not their position. When something is put before the people to vote, you go with the will of the people. See, California is not as lost as everybody thinks it is. They thought it was lost when they did the Prop 8, and they had a couple of, it was one before that, I believe, but they thought, you know, California, yeah, California, they're going to pass this easy. You know, I pray that you voted no on legalization of marijuana. I pray that you vote, because voting is your right, it's your privilege, it's your responsibility. If you're a citizen of the United States of America, you are 18 years of age, you have no felony record, you have the right, you have the privilege, you have the responsibility to vote. Don't tune out of society. You're the people of God. You have a voice to say something. Exercise it. Amen. It's one thing not to have the option or the right or the privilege or the responsibility. It's one thing not to have it at all. Then you can just go on and just continue to pray and seek God's face, that God will come through and God will move and God will do this and God will do that, and he will overturn. He will exalt one and put down another. God will move them out of the way. Dot, 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 dot. But when you got an opportunity to have a voice and say who gets in that office, hey, that's a devil whammy for the church. That's like a devil portion for the church. What do you mean, Pastor? Not only can we pray that God would move, in the government, but we also have a voice and a vote to select who gets in the office. You put all of the Christians together and get them on the same accord, and watch how powerful our voice really is in the United States of America. There are more people who claim to be Christians in this nation than there are heathens or other what they call, quote unquote, faiths. We know there's only one faith.
So there's one thing if we didn't have the, you know, all we can do is pray. Oh, we can do more than pray. What do you mean, Pastor? We can vote too. Really? Yeah. It's our right. It's our privilege. It's our duty.
Well, you know, I don't think the church needs to get involved.
This is my daddy's earth. Hey! Who created the earth? Come on, tell me. Who created the earth? Who created the earth? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He never surrendered ownership. He simply gave us authority and dominion to rule over. And so we get a say-so? You know, daddy don't like the wicked ruling over us anyways. I got a few amens. If you think he takes joy in the wicked ruling over his people, you better think again. He told the children of Israel, and I will make you the head and not the tail, and I will make you above and not beneath. He hasn't forgotten about that. Like, well, see, that's old covenant. Now he wants all of us to be the tail. No, he doesn't. Jesus says, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. Hallelujah. Paul said it like this: all creation groaneth and travails, eagerly awaiting. Groaning and travailing. Animals groaning and travailing. The creation, trees groaning and travailing. Fishes groaning and travailing. Birds groaning and travailing. What are they groaning and travailing? They're eagerly awaiting the adoption or the appearance of the sons of God. Praise God. Yeah, but that's when God changes everything. Our nation is crying out for righteousness right now. People are tired of the mess. They're fed up with lying politicians. So we have corruption in administration of justice, disobedient children. Yeah, somebody said, oh, yeah. Yeah, we were once them too. But another generation has come. And for many of us, we have come to our senses and learned. And now that we know better, we do better. Now we have to pray for this younger generation coming up, because the temptations that are out there, the pressure, the peer pressure and all that is out there, coming from government administrations, all of this is coming upon them. Our public school system is a mess. We put more money into it and get less quality education out of it. The teachers are as worse as the students in many cases. The students are a product of their home. Absentee parents, rebellious children. We're not called to be our children's friends. We are called to be our children's parents. They don't raise us, we raise them. And if we don't know how, God instructs us. It's quiet in here, but that's a good thing. Teen suicide. It's running rampant. We don't have to wait till we hear about it in the news. We just need to know it exists and it continues to spread. And many of the traits and characteristics are the same, similar. The withdrawal. Withdrawal from family, withdrawal from others, become isolated. And then they have the internet to go on and search and look up suicide and find ways to bring an end to their life. And many of them go for it. They may even connect with others and make a pact. And then decide on a certain day at a certain time that they are going to end their lives together. Some have come together as a cultic type of situation.
and have ended all of their lives together, thinking that that was an answer or a solution. It happens all the time. Teen suicide, crime, gambling. Ooh, leave that one alone, because I like my lottery. Praise God. I got a lotto ticket now, waiting for Monday or Tuesday to come around. Gambling, vulgarity. So interesting how people point their fingers at one individual because he is openly vulgar, when so many of them are privately vulgar. And if you get a microphone in the room or you get a camera in the room, you can catch them in the act. Media obscenities. It's all over the place. You know, there was a time where you couldn't even, I won't say the word, but, you know, it begins with a D, it ends with an N. Even that was considered a bad word. But now, you know, prime time TV, you could hear them cussing and swearing and using vulgarity. And, you know, even on the news media that used to have a standard of how they brought forth the news, now even them in expressing themselves will use either, I'll call it light vulgarity, and some will even go so far as to use vulgarity because they know they're going to do a boop on them. They'll have guests on their shows that will all of a sudden just start using vocal boop. And they think it's cute because they know that you know what that person was saying. They just did the boop so that the FCC won't come down on them. Neglect of the poor. Jesus says, the word of God says, the poor you will always have with you. But what he does not say is that the poor have to always be poor. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Julie. What do you mean by that? You may come to Jesus poor, but the gospel is good news. The gospel is going to lift you out of whatever despair and hopelessness that your life may currently be in. If it doesn't, it's not the gospel. Paul said it like this: I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. He can destroy every yoke, lift every burden. He can turn the situation around for you if you will believe him and trust him. Neglect of the poor. So Jesus, you know, even Paul, when he was going about to preach, they said to him, and don't forget about the poor. And Paul was like, that's one of my main targets. I'm going to get this gospel to them because their lives need to be turned around. The infirmed and the elderly. Some of the things that we do to the elderly now is shameful. I'm not going to read the rest of it. That's enough to whet your appetite. Jesus says this: wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said it then and he means it now. We receive power to be an effective witness for Jesus. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, please. Hallelujah. Glory. Many of you probably have voted, but if you haven't and you're registered as a voter, because now it's too late to register, I pray that if you have registered that you will go and exercise your right and privilege to vote this coming Tuesday. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's you voicing what you believe and what you want to see for your nation, your city, surrounding cities, even the county. In Jesus' name, take advantage of it. Don't let the opportunity pass you by. And if you do, you have no right to say anything about the United States of America or the 50 states that make it up or the various counties or cities, and especially the city in which you live, because you've got a right to say so and do something about it. But we got the power of God with us, not to sit, but to go and to do, in Jesus' mighty name. So, Lord, we thank you. I thank you for everyone that is here, everyone that is watching. Thank you for this time today, for the healings that you manifested, for just dining and supping and fellowshipping, allowing us to worship you and to honor you and to glorify you. As we go out of these doors, Father, we go out in the strength and power of the Spirit of the living God. And may everywhere we go, we release the power of the kingdom through the spoken word, through the laying on of hands, through the casting out of devils. Lord God, if we take up any deadly thing, not intentionally, but that it will not harm us, that the gates of hell will not prevail against us, but we will prevail over the gates of hell. I speak the power of the blessing over the sons and daughters of this house, that, Lord God, you bless them, you keep them. You'll make your face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them. You will lift up your countenance on them and give them your peace. That your name will be over them and their household, that you may bless them. That they may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, they may prosper and be in health, even as their soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against them, but they will triumph over the gates of hell, because they're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. They're the foundation and the mainstay, the prop and the support of the truth. The Lord be with you everywhere that you go. May he release his mighty power in and through you, that you'll glorify him in everything that you do in word and in deed. In Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed said amen. Yeah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. We will be back here at the altar having evening glory tonight at 6 p.m. Everyone is welcome. We'll see you then. If not, we'll see you Wednesday. But make sure Tuesday you exercise your right to vote. Amen. All right. Love you.